Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Joey Galvez. I want to tell you guys a little bit about the Department of MetaHuman Affairs. This one is a story about a team led by a retired sidekick, two felons, a failed actor from Broadway, and a reprogrammed cyborg. But their first mission is to stop the criminals who have robbed a bank, and they will have to set the world at ease. You're going to get 180 pages of entertainment, action-packed awesomeness right here in the first six issues in a collected hardcover volume one. All you got to do is head on over to Kickstarter.com and type in the Department of MetaHuman Affairs or DMA and check it out right now.
Okay, everybody. I have something really cool to tell you about. If you haven't heard yet about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain here. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one single place. Now, the way that you can do this is you got to download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm, and then you can get started. It's really fun. We just switched over recently here at All Too Real 2, and I'm enjoying it so far, so be sure to check it out and let us know what you think. Okay, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, via Zoom, is...
Matthew Bueller.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good name. Good name.
Yep.
So, Matt, I got a kind of a statement question for you here. Question statement. It's a new phrase I come up with. Okay. So, here's the thing. You know, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss that they made a TV series based on Ferris Bueller's Day Off. In 1990.
That's good to know.
Yeah. So, anyways, today, in our latest adventure into the air of the pilot error, where we take a look at the pilots of television series that lasted one season or less. Today we take a look at the 1990 television series, Ferris Bueller. Based on the 1986 John Hughes film Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's a half-hour sitcom developed by John Masias, who is credited for creating Touched by an Angel.
Wow.
Providence. And Hawthorne. Not familiar with Hawthorne. Yeah.
I think I remember Providence.
Yeah.
Touched by an Angel. He won 2 Writing Emmy Awards for the drama Saint Elsewhere.
Hmm.
He also received a Writers Guild Award and Humanitas Prize for his writing on Saint Elsewhere. He also received the Humanitas Prize for his writing on the series Brooklyn Bridge. Yep.
He wow.
Also, he was the creator of Saint Elsewhere. Touched by an Angel. He worked on L.A. Law, which comes into play in this episode. He was creator of The Single Guy, The Visitor, Dead Like Me. Yeah.
Wow.
I liked Dead Like Me. That was a good show. Did you ever see that show?
No.
It's a good show. Check it out, folks. Check it out.
Wow.
That was my recommendation. We
did all this.
Yeah. And he created Ferris Bueller, the TV series, not the character.
Yeah.
So, we have a pilot that stars Charlie Schlatter as Ferris Bueller, Richard Reilly, who's my Facebook friend, who will be on a future episode, hopefully, as Principal Ed Rooney. Sam Freed as Bill Bueller. Jennifer Aniston, you know, prior to Friends, as Jeannie mm-hmm. Bueller. Amy Dolenz, the daughter of Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees, as Sloane Peterson. Brandon Douglas as Cameron Fry. And Judith Kahan as Grace. Yeah. So, what happened in this pilot here, Matt?
Wow. Okay, so this is one of the most meta TV show episodes I've seen in my life, and I don't even think that was even a concept really at that time, and I don't think it was intentional at all. But so it starts off with Ferris waking up, and he's talking to the camera, just like in the movie, and then he pulls out a cardboard cutout of Matthew Broderick and says that he didn't like the fact that they cast him to play Ferris, the real Ferris, which is the TV show Ferris, you know, as the lead role, because apparently they made a movie about his life, even though he's only 16 years old, because of his antics at a high school, I guess. Okay. And then he takes a chainsaw and cuts his head off. Cardboard, you know, Matthew Broderick, cardboard cutoff, card cutout, cuts his head off from the shoulder down. He's like, yeah, that's better or whatever. And it's like, okay. So this is the real Ferris Bueller, the TV show. The movie Ferris Bueller is about him. But as we find out in the show, that movie must have taken place in at least 2 years or 1 year in the future than what the show is. So now time travel is involved in the show, which just makes it even more meta. So they like the legends of cast the Legends of Tomorrow get involved somehow, and they end up messing up time, or Barry Allen, as you pointed out last night.
Yeah.
You know, that he do something by creating Flashpoint and then he messed up with the timeline, or was it Wanda from WandaVision? Did she end up fucking with reality so much that she created this sort of alternate world where the TV show... Anyway, so... Because in the movie, Sloane is already his girlfriend, and they're seniors in high school at this point. And in this show, she's a new transfer to the high school that he doesn't even know her, but he says, and we're going to fall in love. So you're sitting there thinking, okay, well, is it just because he sees like some cute girl that he wants to date or whatever? Or has he seen the movie? I mean, he has seen the movie, but does he know the movie takes place in the future and he already knows what's going to happen? So he knows that.
Or maybe this is Sloan. Maybe this is future Ferris narrating the show, but somehow inhabiting the body of younger Ferris.
Whoa. So, oh my God. So it's even more meta. So yeah. So this could have been. This could have been, but he looks different than Matthew. What I mean, that Matthew. Never, yeah. So yeah. This could have been like Ferris from a year or two in the future being sent back to this timeline, but then that creates a time loop then, because that means that future Ferris would have already existed to begin with in order to go back in time in order to create the events that would then lead to the movie, which would then lead to him knowing that he's going to be with Sloan. So then it just goes like that in a sort of eternal circle. Okay. Wow. So this is getting really interesting. So anyway, apparently he's like a computer hacker. Like all these movies, like apparently these teenagers just know everything about computers somehow, and like they just use their like DOS bullshit. That's a really old reference for anyone who's like younger than like 48,000 years old. You know, DOS, you know, that was like old computer shit right there.
Or DOS, and people call it too.
Is that what it's called, DOS? Like, yeah. I always call it DOS because I thought,
well, yeah, that, it's, okay, it's,
yeah, DOS, yeah. Or, yeah. Yeah.
It is, that's the proper thing, what you're calling it, but other people refer to it as DOS.
DOS. So what does it stand for? DOS? Is it like, stand for something or?
Something like, operating system. I don't know what the D is. Yeah.
Disk, probably. Disk operating system. Something. Probably. Okay. Anyway, yeah. So he's somehow able to, like, he puts up a picture of Sloan as the new transfer. Again, this is 1990, so it's not like you could just easily do something like that. And he decides to go down to for breakfast or whatever. His sister is complaining that he's making a bunch of noise or whatever. Oh, that was when he was cutting Matthew Broderick's head off with a chainsaw. And then she's trying to, like, you know, do her eyebrows or whatever. And then we go downstairs, and the parents are completely different. They act completely, I mean, different personalities completely. You know, his mom is like this doting kind of parental figure, and his dad's kind of just has his face buried in the newspaper.
Basically, oblivious to the world.
Yeah. And then she makes her put the paper down, and she's like, "You have any fatherly advice?" By the way, this whole episode has like tons of really stupid jokes that don't make any sense or have any context. So he puts down a paper and he's like, "Son, make sure never to invade Russia in the winter." And Ferris is like, "Okay, I'll have to reschedule." So, what? Okay. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, there's no context to it. Like, and then Jeannie comes down. And, by the way, she plays his older sister in the show,
which makes sense for a TV show, because in a TV show, it would make more sense, for her to be older, because you don't want the older brother basically bullying the younger sister.
Right. True. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. So they kind of have this back and forth. Ferris charms both his parents, and then they go to work. And then Jeannie's like, "You may have, you know, pulled the wool over their eyes, but, you know, I see through you," or whatever type of thing. And she's like, "All right, ground rules about high school or whatever. Nobody knows we are related. Nobody, you know, don't talk to me." Which is weird because he's 16 years old, which means that they already would have been at high school for a while. So why would she be telling him this for his third year of high school? we don't know each other. Like, that would seem like that would be something you would say, like, when someone's just getting into high school. You know what I mean? Like,
my theory on this is like, sometimes some school systems, the way that they're set up, freshman and sophomore school is a different school than junior and senior.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there was a lot. Like, I remember seeing that in movies and TV shows back then. So that's my theory, is that maybe it's like, because there's like a junior high school and a senior high school. And I know that junior high, we think of 7th and 8th grade in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of times that was considered middle school out there. And then you had junior high and senior high, which were like freshman, and not to be confused with junior year of high school. So, it, you know, just to make things more confusing, some school districts run things differently. Yeah.
Right.
They have same number of years, okay, but the way that they're split up is different. So that I'm just giving them the benefit of the doubt. Either that or it was just a fucked up writing.
Right. I mean, it could have been like that in Santa Monica, too, because I know in my school, it was 7th and 8th grade was junior high, but then right after... excuse me. No, sorry. It was... So when I was in 7th grade, it was 7th and 8th grade, but then when I was in 8th grade, they moved 6th grade into junior high.
Oh, okay.
So then, and I was pissed off about that because I'm like, I don't want 6th graders, you know, whatever, you know, little kids, you know, type of thing. But, yeah, okay. So yeah, she does this whole thing where, you know, and, you know, she's like, I'm not going to drive you around or whatever. And then it turns out that he ordered a limousine to pick him up to go to school for some reason. And, then he picks up. Anyway, well, I don't want to say the whole, I don't want to do the whole thing. So what else happened?
So he picks up Cameron, his best friend, played in, this show by Brandon Douglas. By the way, his mom is played by Christine Rose, who, I've been watching a lot of How I Met Your Mother lately, and she plays Ted's mom on that show. Hmm. So, yeah, just an interesting side fact. trying to remember exactly what happens next. He's on his way to school. He's running late. There's a like school announcement meeting sort of thing out in the, like, outside of the school that Mr. Rooney is having, and Ferris shows up late. Mr. Rooney, by the way, played by, and I'm not saying that just because we're Facebook friends, but Richard Reilly is probably the best part of this whole show.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
In like, every episode, honestly. Because I didn't watch every episode, but I remember watching it when it was on, and then when they reran it on, like, TV Land or something years later. I used to watch it on there, too. I actually enjoyed the show, and I do think, I mean, this is, okay, this pilot is not a good pilot. I think the show got better when it kind of became its own thing as it went on, but it only lasted 13 episodes. And then it had the, it also had the bad misfortune of coming out at the same time as Parker Lewis Can't Lose, the TV show, which was basically like a Ferris Bueller clone, but done, written better, in my opinion. And then you also had, of this era, you had your Zach Morris coming out around that time, too, which was basically a Ferris Bueller clone. And, you know, so you kind of had your, you already had your Ferris Buellers. You didn't really need Ferris Bueller, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And plus, too, they had an episode, I didn't watch it, but they had an episode called, like, Ferris Bueller Can't Win or something like that.
Yeah.
In the, you know, so that's, like, another aspect of how meta the show was without them really even, like, knowing what that was or anything.
Yeah. That was before the word meta was kind of even coined, I think.
Yeah.
So While Rooney's on stage giving his speech, Ferris shows up and he's got this remote control that Rooney ends up sinking on stage because he has a trap door or something on the stage. So, you know, hilarity ensues. Mm-hmm. Like it does.
Bueller!
Yeah. And, oh yeah, we forgot the I don't know when it was, but the opening credits are some of the most 1990 opening credits ever made. It's just, like, Bueller with a bunch of, like, words walking around, you know, in a white void for most of it. And the music is all, like, synthesizer sounds. Like the one scene in the movie where he used a synthesizer to, like, create weird sounds of, like, coughing and all this other shit. Somebody thought, hey, let's score the whole TV show like that.
Yep. It's the whole throwaway line or the throwaway scene becomes, like, you know, a major part of the show or whatever.
Yeah.
God, that music was bad. Like, Bueller!
Yeah, like,
the
Ferris!
Was so... Yeah, Ferris!
Ferris! Bueller!
God.
And like, it's sad, though. It gets stuck in your head, though.
Well, I know. I'm still thinking about it now. It's pissing me off. But, and also, too, like, throughout the whole episode, like, it would just, out of nowhere, would just go, Bueller! Like, okay, like, we know who he is. Like, you know.
Do you want to take a quick break here, Matt, and we'll talk more about the rest of the episode?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks.
It's the ninja from the Ask the Angry Ninja Show saying, come listen to the show. We got the ninja wife to give you movie reviews. We got the conscript to give you the ninja news. And we got the battle to talk about your sports. And as always, it is the Ask the Angry Ninja Show. So ask me a question. We'll give you the ninja knowledge you need for your ninja life. Search for us anywhere you get your podcast from. Just search for the Ask the Angry Ninja Show and enjoy the show.
And we are back.
Bueller.
Ferris.
Okay.
All right. So, folks, Ferris Bueller.
Boxing.
Yes. Yeah. The TV show. The pilot. Yep. So what happens next here, Matthew?
Next is, you know, after, you know, Rooney falls through the hole or whatever, apparently Ferris, like, has, like, the hookup for, like, literally everything in the world, which is kind of interesting. Like, I don't know how, I mean, they kind of touched on this in the movie a little bit, but, like, no, like, he apparently can, like, give parking to anyone that wants to park their vehicle in, like, the teacher's area, which is okay. And then these two girls are complaining about having macaroni and cheese for lunch on Thursday, so then he somehow arranges linguine and pesto, like, by making a phone call, like, okay. And they're like, oh, cool, what's pesto? And it's like, okay. And then Cameron, all the while, is like, you know, Rooney's got a tight, you know, tight eye on the, you know, teacher's parking or whatever, and, oh, you're gonna mess up his favorite meal or whatever, I don't know. And, like, so then he also, oh, by the way, too, so before they even went to school, Ferris, with his magical hacking skills again, with his computer inside the car, was able to, basically removed Cameron from gym class because he didn't want to be in gym. And so he scheduled himself to be in all the same classes as Sloan. And it's like, wow, like, he's got some pretty advanced, you know, hacking skills that nobody's, like, detecting at all. Like, so then he basically, again, so like he knows they're gonna fall in love because he's seen his future, played by Matthew Broderick, which he didn't like. So he already knows. So my theory about this, again, to kind of go back to the time travel aspect of this whole TV show, is that the reason why Ferris is so confident is that he already knows his future. So he already knows what's going to work out, what's not going to work out. And perhaps he's even seen his own demise. So we kind of got like a big fish kind of element going on here too. So like, he's just not afraid of anything. He just knows everything's going to work out okay. So he schedules himself to be in all of Sloane's classes, and he's like trying to get her attention in Latin class in a really weird, creepy way where he's like literally just like facing her and like talking to her. And she's just like staring at like the chalkboard, like not paying attention to him or whatever. And then like every single class, and I mean every single class, he like says something really stupid that he thinks is funny, which again is interesting because it's like, if you've already seen your future, what do you know, like what jokes land and what jokes don't land? Or are you just not privy to that knowledge of the future? Like, you're only privy to like the basic things, but not like full on details. I don't know. But anyway, the jokes are stupid. And then he always ends the joke by, "By the way, did you know my name is Ferris Bueller?" It's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure by like the seventh class of the day, she knows who your fucking name is. Okay, shut the fuck up. Like, she hasn't said any. Another thing about that. Okay, so he schedules to be in all of her classes, but how does he automatically get to be her lab partner in every single one of these classes? Like, how does that work out? Like, teachers usually assign, it's not like you just get to pick every single class. Whatever. Okay. Maybe I'm reading too much into it.
Probably reading too much into it.
No, the show was meta before meta was a thing, and everything they did was pre thought out. So I'm taking them to task for this. So so they're doing like this weird like driving ed course where they're like in like a fake car with like a TV screen, and they're supposed to be like pretending to drive. I guess, I don't know. Really, really advanced school for like 1990, but hey. I guess there's only the best for Ferris and Santa Monica. Oh, yeah. To bring to that point, Ferris Bueller's Day Off movie takes place in Chicago.
Yeah, it was basically a love letter to the city, too, because it was so, you know, it's such a Chicago movie.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. I mean, like,
there was no reason whatsoever to set the show in Santa Monica, except for the fact that we have a scene coming up at a beach.
That's it, literally. And it's not an important scene whatsoever. And there was one scene earlier when they were picking up camera and they showed the beach a little bit. But, because, again, so he picks... Another thing about that. So he picks up Cameron just, like, standing on the street somewhere, not anywhere near a residential neighborhood. So it's like, so Cameron has to, like, walk, meet you halfway for him to pick him up with the limousine? Like, that's a weird... Okay, whatever. That's a weird thing to do. But okay, so that's what he did. And then they fail the driving thing or whatever. They get into like a fake accident or whatever. And then he's like, "Oh, we should eat lunch together or something, some bullshit, I don't know." And then like finally, but before this time, Sloane never even talked once. Like she literally just like would like shake her head or just like ignore him, which was the better response, really, and just completely ignore this fucking idiot. So, and she's like, you know, who has the car or whatever? You or the dummy? So, like, okay, that's a pretty shallow person right there.
Yep.
You know, she wasn't like that V, but in the show, she's apparently that's another thing too. So, like, not only does she look nothing like the actress who played Sloane in the movie, her personality is completely different, not even close to being accurate.
Yeah, like Sloane
is a little bit.
Yeah, Sloane in the movie was like a strong woman. I mean, for the time, maybe not, you know, like modern day strong, but 80s strong movie wise, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, this character, at least in the pilot, I mean, like I said, the show might... I thought the show got better as it went on, but I haven't seen the other episodes in probably 15 years or more, you know? So it's like, at least. So it's hard to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be sure to check it out, actually, because I'm actually kind of morbidly interested in how to see how the show goes.
Yes, me too.
So I might actually check. Maybe we can do another episode about, like, if it gets better or not or
Maybe we'll revisit this or something. Or if we ever have Richard Reilly on the show, we can talk to him about it a little bit. The whole show didn't last even a whole season, but if you want to watch the whole show, somebody was kind enough to upload every episode to YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I think there might even be like a DVD release of this too, though. So, so you might want to, if you want to do it legally, you might even want to buy that. I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
If you really like Ferris Bueller.
If
you really hate Ferris Bueller. I don't know.
Yeah, you could hate watch it too, I guess. Because, that's what I was doing pretty much. So they go to the beach on their little beach date or whatever, cut class, and she's kind of nervous because she's never cut class. Oh, yeah, she said she used to go to a parochial school, which, again, seems like totally out of character for Sloan, but whatever. And so she's used to, like, kind of strict. Parochial schools are kind of like, are they kind of like religious schools? Like Montessori? Yeah. Well, Montessori, not really religious. Well,
parochial just means like a non-public school.
Okay.
Yeah, like some kind of fancy school or something. It could be a Catholic school. It could be a, some kind of, Montessori school or, whatever, something like that, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to say.
Yeah, because I went to Montessori school for one, I think it wasn't even a full year. I think it was just 6 months. But, like, I still remember shit from that. And I was, like, that was preschool for me. That wasn't even kindergarten. So, like, their methods must really work that for, like, a mere six-month stint when I was 4 years old. And I still remember, like, some of their, like, methods and shit like that. So it's, like, very interesting. But,
I went to Catholic school for 13 years, so...
Mm-hmm.
Well, 13 and a half, technically, because I did take a half a semester of a Catholic college, too, so...
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, a half a year, not a half a semester, but yeah. Yep.
Half a semester.
Yeah, no. Might as well have, because I failed out. But anyways,
No.
Oh, my life sucks.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to hack into the system and make everything better.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't have the hacking skills of TV Ferris, which is DOS bullshit and whatever. Anyway, so
I didn't have a soundtrack following me around all the time to remind me of my name.
Exactly, Colin.
Michael. Colin.
I mean, I can do that from now on. I can just show up to, like, your work and stuff with, like, a keyboard and just, like, play Colin.
I'm thinking that would get annoying after a while. Just.
Yeah, probably. I'd probably get kicked out, too.
Yeah.
But, so they do their dumb beach date or whatever, and she's like, I want to be a ballet or something. I don't know what it's, dance, like some kind of dancer or some bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not bullshit, whatever. And then she, like, runs off, and then she falls in the sand, and he's like, what does she have to lose? Well, besides her balance. Then he calls her a wench, I guess, I think.
But in, like, a loving way.
I guess, yeah. And it's like, okay. So then they go back to school, and then Rooney is, like, there waiting. Oh, yeah, the reason why Rooney knows... Okay, I'm getting a little... The narration... I'm getting the timeline fucked up here. But then again, whole timeline of the show is fucked up because of the time travel aspect. Rooney knows that he's gone because he stole his sister's car to go to the beach.
Yeah, and then Jeannie reported that it was stolen at the same time, and then Rooney writes her up for being out of class.
Right, yeah, he's really strict because he wrote her up for being late as well. Oh, yeah, that's the other weird joke. I don't know if this was like a... I don't know if this was meant to be like a sexual joke or if it... I don't know if it was just one of those weird jokes that didn't make any sense because there's no context to it. But he said that you're late and writes a slip. And he's like, you know what that means? And she says, yeah, I won't go to heaven. So I don't know if that was like... You know, like late, like if she's pregnant. I don't know.
I don't know what that
I don't
meant.
Know.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
my mind didn't even go there. I just thought it was a badly written line.
Well, I was just thinking because, you know, if you're late, you're a teenager,
yeah.
You got pregnant, most likely that you're not married.
Yeah.
So therefore, you're not going to. Maybe I'm reading way too into this. I don't know. Like I said. But I don't know. So anyway. Oh, yeah. So. Okay, this is the cool. This is like a really meta part comes up here. Like this whole episode is just full of these like weird meta moments. Like again, I don't even think they even knew they were doing it or if it was even a concept back then. So they got the dude who played in L.A. Law. Ferris basically, like I guess the guy owes him a favor or whatever because again, Ferris has the hookup even for like middle-aged adults at this point, which is kind of questionable. Okay,
yeah, he has Alan Rations, who was one of the lawyers on L.A. Law at the time, which was, like, one of the top-rated television shows at that time. And, you know, it makes sense because, like, the guy that created this for television wrote on L.A. Law, so it makes sense that he would have the hookup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it does, yeah. And so he basically has this guy pretend to be a lawyer to Rooney and just threatens all these lawsuits and all this crap or whatever. And then basically talked him down to just like, you know, detention or whatever.
Yeah.
And like the Grace even like mentioned, like she actually thinks that he's like the lawyer from the show, I think, or something.
Yeah.
Is that true? Or
I think so.
And he's like, I'm not really whatever, you know, so that's like really meta. I mean, that really is like, that was, I mean, I don't remember much. I was just a little kid when that show was on, so I don't remember watching it that much. Maybe my parents did or something. I don't know. But, so that was kind of funny. That was pretty cool. And then, so then I forgot what else happens. Some bullshit where his sister has to go to detention.
She's in detention as well. She shows up to the detention. Ferris isn't there. He put that dummy from the driving scene in his seat.
Right.
And somehow nobody bothered to check the front of the person to see if it was real.
Right. I got the timeline off. So that was when he stole the car, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So he was supposed to be in detention before. Okay, so what was the lawyer for? What was that
No,
for?
That was after, I think, I thought.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
That was after he stole the car. Yeah.
Okay. So he just didn't show up to detention, I guess. Okay, and then when
Rooney found them, Sloan basically was the reason she ratted him out.
Right.
And then later on in the episode, she talks about how she wants to, you know, like you said, go to ballet school and stuff. So she basically is talking about transferring again.
Oh yeah, okay, that's right, yeah.
Which sets up the plot of like a future episode of Ferris basically trying to gaslight her into staying at the school or something.
Actually I think he does worse than that. I think he actually I think I read that he actually makes it like he does his stupid computer bullshit again and actually makes it so she can't transfer like until like 3 months later. So like he's a very manipulative person.
Yeah.
Which is again, so apparently Matthew Broderick, Ferris Bueller, was a much nicer person.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, so it does take place like 2 years in the future. Maybe he changes his ways within that 2 years. And maybe the family moves to Chicago. So maybe that's why but then Cameron and Sloan also move. That's kind of
And Mr. Rooney.
Like a Saved by the Bell type of thing.
And Mr. Rooney, yeah, like Mr.
Yeah,
Belden.
That's
did.
Saved by the Bell.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. The whole town just moves to California, Bayside, California.
It's like the opposite of the Miss Bliss, Saved by the Bell thing, because in the Miss Bliss thing, they move from the Midwest to California, and this they'll move from California to the Midwest. So,
yeah, yeah. But, you know, Chicago is a cool city. I mean, that's better than moving.
So, another interesting thing,
another
interesting thing, too, that I noticed about this is that this show premiered the same night as Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, jeez.
Right after it. So, you have this show about, you know, a kind of scheming kid moving to California.
Right.
And, you know, which is basically a kind of a Ferris Bueller put into a rich mansion in Beverly Hills sort of situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have another Ferris Bueller prototype here with Will Smith's character. And right. It's like, okay, you kind of, you know, you're oversaturating the market because you've already got Saturday mornings with your Saved by the Bell, and you got this all on NBC. And then over on Fox, you've got Parker Lewis. And I'm sure there were other, like, scheming kids on TV, too. So it's like you're watering down the market there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, the show didn't have a chance following Fresh Prince. I mean,
yeah. Which nobody knew was going to be a big hit, but, you know.
Right.
And that's probably why I remember this show, because I remember being excited to watch The Fresh Prince, because I was a big fan of DJ Jazzy Jeff and The Fresh Prince. So,
right.
Prior to this. So, because I was probably, like, 12 or so when this show came out. So, you know. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yep.
So,
yep.
12 or 13, somewhere around there. Yeah, so how's the show end? How's the episode end?
The episode ends with, I don't know, some bullshit where he comes home and then he's, like, trying to, you know, sweet-talk his mom again or whatever. Like, I was like, where were you? Oh, I was helping out at the orphanage, but then,
oh,
you
brought
you know,
flowers.
I had time to get you some. Yeah, and she's like, oh, Ferris. I'm like, come on. Like, really? Like, yeah, he was at the orphanage for, like, what, 2 seconds after school ended?
Well, like, no, okay. he was in detention, so that was basically him trying to explain where he was.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But he even wasn't really there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, but I don't know.
Right, so, yeah, that makes sense. All right, so, Jennifer Aniston, or Jeannie, rather, she's driving home, and then the cop pulls her over and, you know, says that the vehicle has been reported as stolen. And she's like, well, I'm the one that, you know, reported it as stolen. And he's like, oh, that's very convenient. You know, can you show me your license and registration? And then apparently it's not in her glove compartment, which, again, is such a weird phrase, glove compartment. Like, why would you have a separate thing just for gloves? Like, I never understood that. Like, you could put other stuff in there. Why gloves?
We'll look into that. We'll after the break, yeah. I'll explain to why it was, because I personally know, but we'll get into that after we get past this end of
okay,
this episode.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we get past this. Yeah. Like, yeah, we just need to get past this. So she's like, oh, wait a minute. Are you, like, you know, doing, you know, like, she's, like, been, her brother's been conspiring all day, so she's, like, paranoid now, thinking that, like, this is one of Ferris's new tricks or whatever. So then she just speeds off, and then, you know, so she's, like, evading arrest now or whatever. So then she gets caught, and now she's in jail, and, you know, the bail is posted at $250. And then Ferris, being the good younger brother that he is, magically does his computer hacking skills again to have the bail posted at $250,000. Which, again, how is nobody detecting this? Like, I mean, like, if there was hackers back then, there had to have been people who were working against the hackers as well. There's always, I mean, Every time there's criminals, there's always people who are trying to catch the criminals. So how is no one seeing any of the stuff changing? Like, whatever. And then he cracks some stupid joke about, like, oh, because his mom says, oh, well, dinner's in the microwave. We got to go to the police station to pick up your sister. And he's like, remember to stop by the bank first or whatever, you know, because it's $250,000.
That was so funny. That was so funny.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Fucking Luther. Anyway, so, oh, yeah, too. Another joke he said earlier, which was so, oh, my God. I hate that. I wanted to slap him across the face. So, like, when the L.A. law guy leaves, he's like, he goes, you know, just try to keep your nose clean. And then he goes, I'm not sure if that's an expression or if I really need a Kleenex. I'm like, my God.
Yep.
That's the end. That's it. That's the pilot.
It also makes me wonder, I don't know if maybe there was a storyline on L.A. Law at that point where his character was doing cocaine or something.
Maybe. Yeah.
That's where my mind went, but, you know, looking too much into it. TV show. Anyways, so do you want to take another break and we'll read some reviews and some trivia and stuff and also talk about glove compartments?
Sure.
We'll be right back after this break, folks.
What is Gen X? What is the Silent Generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And, as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
And we are back to all two car terms, and so glove compartments, people, are a glove compartment or glove box or glovey is a compartment built into the dashboard of an automobile located over the front seat passenger's footwell and often used for miscellaneous storage. The name derives from the original purpose of the compartment to store driving gloves. Here's a little history, folks. Driving gloves were considered necessary equipment in early cars, many of which lacked a hard top to prevent the cooling effect of fast-moving air from numbing the driver's hands. So they needed gloves. Gloves are still considered necessary driving equipment on motorcycles for the same reason, although unlike cars, most motorcycles do not have glove boxes.
Oh.
So there you go.
Wow, okay.
There's a little history, folks.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And that's all from Wikipedia, folks. You could have looked that up yourselves, but I did it for you.
Yep.
And I'm
all too car speak. Or...
Yes. We're gonna talk about cars, because we know everything about them, right, Matt? We'll be the new Click and Clack. You ever listen to them? On the radio back in the day?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I used to love listening to them for some reason. My mom's husband like loved listening to them, and so we would be driving the car on weekends listening to them on the way home from work and stuff. Good times, good times. So
good time. Yep.
Here's a little bit of Ferris Bueller trivia. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, we have differences from the movie. Jeannie's name is spelled with two N's in the TV series, but only one in the movie. Sloane's name is spelled with an E in the movie, but not on the TV show. Katie and Tom Buehler are the names of the parents in the movie, but on the TV show they're Barbara and Bill. Grace has a crush on Mr. Rooney in the TV series. Sloane is not always wrapped around Ferris's finger and has to be won on occasion. So in the show, I guess they break up from time to time. Although Jeannie can be arrogant, at times she can actually be good in the TV series. The setting is Santa Monica, Los Angeles, California, not Chicago. Jeannie is a senior while Ferris is a junior, when it's the opposite in the movie. And in this, Cameron actually falls in love a couple times. Although some name, casting, and setting details were changed, the viewers still got the main idea. I mean, still get the main idea of the TV series. The reason why the cast on the show was completely different from Ferris Bueller's Day Off was because Matthew Broderick, the original Ferris, was serving jail time for drunk driving around the time. So they planned to use a replacement for a while until Broderick got out, but the show was canceled within a year. I don't know if that's true or not, but hey, I know he was in jail. This was one of the main reasons why many people didn't like it. Another complaint was how Charlie Schlatter played Ferris as more cocky and snarkier than Matthew Broderick's Ferris.
Mm-hmm.
It was beaten by its rival show, Parker Lewis Can't Lose. The characters in both the movie and the TV show are in all 13 episodes. Okay, that's some little bit of things. I do know, you know, Matthew Broderick actually did go to jail for drunk driving. He was at the time, I'm trying to remember when this happened exactly, but I think he was actually dating Jennifer Grey at the time, who played his sister in Ferris Bueller. And they were in a car accident together, which ended up killing somebody. So technically, Matthew Broderick is a murderer.
Whoa. Yeah, weren't they in Ireland?
I think so, yeah.
Was it? I didn't know it was drunk. I thought he was like just driving on the wrong side of the road or some shit.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, the thing is that this page that I got that information from was a Ferris Bueller fan page. So,
oh wow.
I don't know. It was like a Ferris Bueller wiki. Yeah.
That's probably right then. Wow.
Yeah. But anyways, that's for another episode when we talk about Matthew Broderick
being the murderer
as well as Brandy, but well, technically both for the same reason. Do you want me to read some reviews here, Matt?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here is one from 2002 from Preppy 3. Maybe it was Zach Morris. What do you think?
Yeah.
As some November 26th, 2002. Here we go. Well, I liked it. Okay, this was not up to the original movie, which was great. But how could it be? For what it was, a TV series, it was pretty good. I thought Schlatter was dead on as Ferris. His talking to the audience was well done. I laughed out loud when he took a chainsaw to a cardboard cutout of Matthew Broderick from the film. And I thought Jennifer Aniston was perfect as his obnoxious sister. I seem to be alone in liking this, but I think people are comparing it way too much to the movie. There's no way any TV series could measure up to that. Taking it on its own, I thought it was a fun TV series. Okay, here's another one from February 9th of 2000. From Mr. Six.
don't bother to save this, Ferris. The road to you-know-where is paved with good intentions. And I'm sure there are a lot of producers, directors, and so forth who are headed that way after seeing the primetime terror that they have wrought here. Ferris Bueller is a TV version of the everyday high school life of the lead character from John Hughes' brilliant movie Ferris Bueller Day, Bueller's Day Off. And while the basic idea is good, everything else is completely done wrong. Schlatter is a lot of the problem. Though he looks appropriately young, he just seems too cocky, too arrogant, and too smug as Ferris to appeal to the same way as Matthew Broderick did. He manages to begin the ship sinking early. Not much better are Aniston as his sister, really as Ed Rooney, and not even the actors that play his parents, girlfriend, or best pal Cameron Fry make as much of an impression as their counterparts did on film. And then there were the scripts. Not half as inventive as the movie, not even cameos by whomever happened to be on the NBC studio backlot that day make much of a difference. No, even good direction by Bixby, Lynn, etc. helps. In the end, Ferris Bueller's series didn't even last 13 episodes. What do you know? Looks like Ed Rooney got his revenge after all. No stars. Hardly worth thinking about, unless you just want to get a headache. Here's another one. From August 24th of 2019. So just a couple years ago. 1 out of 10. Sad indeed. This is by Bench Seat. I lasted 5 minutes. Don't bother with this pathetic attempt to capitalize on the film's success. That's the whole review.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I don't know. What did you think of the show, Matt? Would you, you said you want to try to continue watching the other episodes, right?
Yeah, I'm going to give it a chance, but I did not like this.
No,
pilot at all.
It appropriately fits our title of Pilot Error, because I don't think it's a good introduction to this show. I don't know if the show gets better, because I can't remember, honestly. But hopefully it does. Maybe we'll do a re-review of this later, after we watch more of the episodes. If you want us to, message me at mike@cullenpark.com. Go to our Facebook group, All Too Real 2 podcast group, and let us know there. We got a bunch of suggestions of things that we can cover in the future. We are going to look into those and maybe cover some of those things that you guys suggested to us online. And I thank you for that as well, anybody that's listening that suggested things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Anything else you want us to... cover or anything, just let us know. Any last thoughts here, Matt, before we wrap things up?
Make sure that, you take a look around every once in a while. I totally butchered that quote. life moves pretty fast. If you don't take a look around whatever. You know the thing.
If you don't look around once in a while, you might miss it.
Yeah, which, by the way, he's like, I don't remember saying that. Well, yeah, you don't, because you said it 2 years in the future, and you haven't said it yet. So, of course, you wouldn't remember.
Yeah, he says that in a future episode that we haven't watched yet. So,
oh, okay.
where Barbara Bush is quoting it at a commencement speech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. God, it's so meta. Wow. I mean, really, like, they just did not know what they were doing with all this. Like, man, like, anyway, so, like, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say wear a mask, then you're going to say something else. I just have one point to that.
Go ahead.
The reason why. I don't want to take your line from you, but
go ahead. Take it.
Okay. You always say wear a mask, be good to each other, wear a mask, wear a condom. The reason why I brought that up right now is because I saw a video earlier from the Young Turks where a Republican congressman, don't know if he's a senator or whatever, congressman, you know, talking about how, you know, wearing masks are pointless, even like full year into the pandemic, still fighting this mask thing. And they're like, nobody wore masks during the AIDS epidemic. And no, you know, like, so there you go. Like we were saying, a condom's kind of like a mask for, you know, that member of your body. So it's all coming together, Mike, you know. Well, that phrase was too, that one phrase so, was unintentionally bad right there. But anyway.
So this congressperson is either implying that the only way you can get COVID is if you have sex with someone, or he's implying that you can get AIDS by just breathing the air of somebody with AIDS.
Well, no, he's saying that we didn't wear masks when...
I know what you're saying.
You know, very few people...
But what I'm saying is that... But there he's kind of implying that, you know, that we didn't have to then, so we shouldn't have to now. So what he's implying is that if science is right, which he doesn't believe it is...
Right.
That, you know... But it doesn't make any sense. All I'm saying is that wearing a condom is what you do when you don't want to, you know, get AIDS or an STD of some sort. But, you know, wearing a mask is for an airborne disease, you fucking dolt.
Exactly. So that's as I was watching that, I was literally thinking of your catchphrase, wear a mask, wear a condom. I'm like, well, there you go.
Just put yourself in a fucking bubble, people. Oh, wait, no, don't do that. Don't, no.
Yep, we're into 1 year and 2 days into the pandemic, and we're still having the fucking mask argument. It's like...
Uh-huh. Well, it's like just the other day on Facebook, on, you know, they have your memories on Facebook. I had one come up that said, don't believe memes, believe scientists and doctors.
Yep.
It still applies, people. Wear a fucking mask.
Yep. Actually, it's a year and 4 days, I think.
Whatever it is, by the time this airs, it'll be even later. Yeah. I mean, go out there, you know, see if you can get a vaccine. And, you know, don't believe the hype on anti-vaxxer bullshit either. That's another thing that pisses me off, because some people close to me are starting to believe that shit. And I am like... They're like the same people that believe you should get a flu shot every year, even, are starting to believe that there's something wrong with this vaccine. They're not even anti-vaxxers; they're anti this vaccine, and they—I don't know. There is no chip in it. There is no, you know, and people are like thinking that you're going to die if you get the thing, because a couple people had adverse reactions to it, but they would have adverse reactions to it regardless. So,
right.
It's not everybody.
It's like, guys, 525,000 people in this country alone have died from this.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, I'm sorry. Like, if one person dies from a vaccine, that's tragic. I'm sorry. It's terrible. But I'll take one over 525,000. I'm just saying. I'm not the greatest at math. But I'm pretty sure one is less than 500,000. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's a new form of math that's different.
The logic here is the fact, okay, so I am allergic to onions. Mm. So then, by that logic, no one should eat onions.
Yeah, I guess.
That's the same logic they have here when it comes to this vaccine. That, you know, some people might be allergic to the vaccine, so then nobody should take the vaccine.
Right. And... You know who would wear a mask is the viewers.
Yes, he would. I believe he would talk right directly to the camera.
Yeah.
He probably still is. You know, I think Ferris is living out in Santa Monica right now to this very day, talking to a camera that's not even there. He's living in his parents' basement. Or but still in his bedroom.
Everyone in his family is on... He's just him now,
Jeannie's off married with some kids. Cameron is off married with some kids. Sloan is off being a professional ballet dancer. Mr. Rooney became a billionaire.
That's just my theory. You know, this is how I think it's going to all end. And that's how the show would have ended if it lasted the 10 years it deserved to last. And, or maybe it should still be on the air. Maybe it should have, you know, been, you know, like a 30-year television franchise. And,
30 plus
years. And, should still be on the air.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fierce. I would watch 30 seasons of this show if I was forced to, for money.
Yeah.
Like a lot of money, actually.
And putting
like we're talking in the billions.
Putting one of those devices like Alex and A Clockwork Orange where they open up your eyes and make you watch stuff.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Do that with this show.
Yeah.
And then wait a minute, though, because that was... Oh, yeah, never mind. That was to try to brainwash him into, like, becoming, like, a non-sociopath, but it didn't really work.
Maybe they should have made him watch Ferris Bueller. So, I guess that's all we got to say here about this brilliant television show. Glove compartments. Here's another thing. Okay, wear a mask. If you're on a motorcycle, wear some gloves.
Yeah.
I just learned today why people wear gloves when they're driving.
Yeah.
That's why you need driving gloves, you see? If you don't have a hard top, you know, if you got like a convertible or something. Wear some gloves. And wear a mask.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a condom.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 podcast. A Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.